Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
For a number of weeks, we have been talking about overcoming in life's challenges by learning to see reality as it truly is. Reality is everything as God sees it. And as part of our study, we have been discussing how to handle our emotions according to God's Word. Emotions can get you way off the track of God's Word if you don't know how to deal with them in a godly way. So for a number of weeks, we have been looking at how to deal with emotions. We've talked about fear and worry. We've talked about sorrow, regret, guilt. I have a few more things I want to say about all that this week, and then we're going to shift gears next week. There are a lot more emotions to cover. We will eventually get back to them, but I think I'm going to give you a little break after this week's set of lessons. This week, I want to talk about reality and anger at God. If you've been with us for the past few weeks, we've been talking about dealing with sorrow. Sometimes when people are hit with sorrow caused by loss of someone or something that is dear to them, anger at God arises. Perhaps you can relate to that. Probably some of you can. And I want to deal with that this week. Let me review. We always review. I don't apologize for that. Repetition is the seed of learning. The more I say it, the more chance there is that you're going to hear it and remember it and walk in it. We've made the point that there are different kinds and degrees of sorrow, ranging from minor disappointments to crushing grief. Grief arises when we lose someone or something dear to us. Disappointment is aroused when we don't get what we were expecting, or it is less than what we were expecting. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." When you have an expectation for something and it doesn't come through, it can make you heartsick. We said that regret and guilt arise when choices we make produce negative actions and consequences that can't be undone. And we said these choices include bad decisions that hurt us or others, as well as decisions that we thought were good but turned out badly. And they also include sinful decisions. Now, for the past couple of weeks, we focused on sorrow or regret and guilt over choices we've made. And we've seen that these various degrees and types of sorrow can overlap. We looked a couple weeks ago at David when he and all his men returned back to their town to discover that a marauding tribe had carried off all their wives and children and had burned the town to the ground. They experienced grief. They cried till they could weep no more. And then that morphed into anger at David. They talked about killing David. We said they no doubt played the if only game. If only we hadn't waited a day to come home. If only we hadn't left the town in the first place. If only. And we saw that as these various types and degrees of sorrow overlap and give rise to the if-only questions, it produces more negative results for us. If-only questions, if only I'd done this, or if I had not done that, things would have turned out differently. But if-onlys are generally not profitable, and they can actually feed feelings of grief, guilt, and regret. If you made a mistake, you can look back and say, I should not have done that. And it can be corrected. You can do something to undo it. By all means, do so. Or if you can see where and how you went wrong so that you can avoid repeating that in the future, that's one thing. If your if-only question means you can spot a specific thing you did that you shouldn't have done, that can be undone. See, that's the point here. A lot of things we do, they can't be undone. Once they're done, it's done. But occasionally, you do something wrong, and you look back, if only I hadn't have done that, and you see a way to make it right. and put things right, by all means do so. And then sometimes we can look back and see where we did something really boneheaded, and we see what we did. We see it now. Well, we can learn from that so that we don't repeat it in the future. So that, I'm not talking about never doing that sort of thing. But the problem is people have a tendency to focus on what can't be undone and on what they would have no way of avoiding in the future, or there's no lesson they can learn for the future in it. It's just focused on, oh, if only I hadn't have. And they go over and over and over it and torture themselves with, if only, if only. Perhaps some of you can relate to that. You have to realize what done is done. What's done is done. You can only deal with the situation as it is and not as it should have been. Now, when we talk about dealing with the situation as it is, we aren't saying adopt a fatalistic attitude. Nothing could be further from the truth. I'm not saying adopt a fatalistic attitude. I'm saying that instead of focusing on the past that can't be undone, that's wasted energy, focus on the present reality that God is with you to help you every step along the way through your ordeal. We've done whole lessons on this over these past few weeks. Psalm 46 verse 1 says God is a very present help in trouble. We looked at the example in Genesis 28 where God told Jacob at the beginning of his journey through his adult life, I will be with you through your entire life. I will tend you as a shepherd tends his flock, and I will keep every word I've spoken to you. And then we actually have a deathbed scene with Jacob at the end of his life when he looks back over his long life and he's able to say, God kept that promise. He was with me through my entire life and he shepherded me. He was a good shepherd to me. He fed me. He provided for me. He protected me. He led me. He guided me. See, if you focus on God is with me and there's nothing bigger than God, what I'm looking at is not bigger than God. He can get me through this until he gets me out of this. That is way more profitable than focusing on if-onlys that can't be undone. And see, not only do you recognize what your situation is right now, God with you, perfectly present, loving and reigning, and upholding all things by the word of his power, recognize what your situation can become in the hands of God. Look at the present and look to the future. What your situation can become in the hands of Almighty God. Realize that even in the darkest circumstances, we have hope or expectation of coming good. We've discussed this in great detail in this series. Romans 15:13 calls God the God of hope. For a Christian, there's no such thing as a hopeless situation. That doesn't mean you're not in a hopeless situation, but it means that with God, there's always reason to hope. See, we looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, where Paul told people who had lost loved ones and wanted to know how to deal with it. He said, we do not sorrow like other people who sorrow with no hope. We have hope. We have an expectation of coming good. Yes, we're truly sorrowful because we've lost people we love, but we recognize it's a temporary separation. Our hope in grief is reunion and resurrection. Being reunited with people we love, and all of us, our bodies being resurrected, and we come back to live on the earth after it's been cleansed of all trace of sin, corruption, and death. Our hope in guilt and regret is the remission or wiping out of sins and the restoration of loss. For a Christian, all loss is temporary. Missed opportunities are only postponed ones. Now, none of this, none of what I just said means that your pain will stop instantly. It will not. I can assure you of that. Nor does this mean that you won't have to put forth effort to keep your mind from going to the if-only place. Because it will. Believe me, I've been there. It takes effort to keep bringing your mind back to what God says and to the hope you have in him. But focusing on reality as it truly is, God with you right now as a real help, and the hope of the future will keep you from sinking into despair. It will keep you from feeding your pain through focusing on the if-onlys. And then, with the passage of time, as you adjust to your loss and disappointments, the pain will lessen. but hope will sustain you. Now, this week, we want to specifically focus on one more aspect of the sorrow that arises from loss and regrettable circumstances, the if-onlys we direct at God. See, we've discussed how we direct if-onlys at ourselves, and we sometimes direct them at other people, but we also direct them at God. If only God had not let this happen. In the midst of our sorrow and pain, it is possible to have anger at God. Anger at God arises when we believe he has not done things the way we think he should, and we believe that our difficulties are due to his mishandling of things. Now, some people say, good people, good men and women of God, say that anger at God is normal and natural, and we should just let it out because he understands. Well, yes, he does understand, and he's not mad at you. He knows you're just a little kid. But consider these points. Anger at God is a huge faith destroyer. We get angry at someone when we believe they've wronged us in some way. Isn't that right? If you believe God is responsible for your troubles, either directly or indirectly, then how can you turn to him confidently for help in your time of trouble, which is what the Bible says we're to do? Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come boldly or with confidence under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in our time of need. Well, if you think God is the source of your trouble, either indirectly or directly, how can you obey that verse? Psalm 9 verse 10 says, they that know his name or his character will put their trust in him. Anger at God also makes it easier to justify sin. Perhaps you can relate to that. I know people who have made statements like, after what he did do or didn't do for me, I deserve to commit this sin. He let me down. It makes it easier to sin if you're angry at God and feel that he's let you down. And then thirdly, what you feel is often the result of what you think. You feel anger at God because of what you think about him. But the Bible makes it clear that we never have a reason to be angry at God. So wouldn't it be better to correct the flawed thinking which led to those feelings of anger rather than just letting it out and not dealing with it? I'm not saying it's wrong to let it out. I understand what men and women of God mean, but I think we'd be better off if we correct the source, the thinking that led us to be angry at God without cause. Got a lot to talk about this week. More tomorrow. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.